Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Peaches come from a can, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal beat Newcastle and fizzes off to Miami. It's Tuesday, 19th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
Welcome, one and all. It's time for a terrific Tuesday, and Andrew and Vidushin are with me. Boys, how the dickens are you?
I'm pretty good.
Bloody moon.
Yeah. Over the moon.
I feel ready to sell some double glazing. Yeah.
What?
Sell some double glazing? I feel ready to sell some double glazing. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, what's the comedy show?
What are you jiving me with that chat for, Andy, early on in the show?
The comedy show where they call each other boysies all the time.
Oh, Blackadder. Oh. Now, chaps, did you see? He gets younger as he gets older. It's European football's. What's he called? What was the film Brad Pitt played?
Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button, European football's Benjamin Button, Zlatan Ibrahimovic scoring 2 goals for AC Milan last night, back on top of the league. Vish, what if I told you that he'd scored 24 goals in 33 appearances since rejoining the Rossoneri in 2019? You'd be very impressed, wouldn't you?
I mean, I would be. He's a walking meme, isn't he? He's meme manifest, and he's taken all of us, machine. all the doubters are being taken down one by one.
And it's bloody ridiculous.
What I particularly enjoyed, though, not only that this was his first start since the injury, so first start for a couple of months, not only that it took Milan clear at the top of the league again, but the second goal was fantastic because, of course, wins the penalty, scores the penalty for the first one. Second one, initially flagged offside, and then the VAR goes back and finds out that he's actually onside. Goal is given. And normally, when a VAR goal is given, it's a little bit like at the Oscars, give or take the Samuel L. Jackson one, where they're focusing on the winner and they seem already calm and then go bonkers and they have the goal moment all over again. Whereas Zlatan's first instinct is not just is not, yes, we've scored. It's, right, linesman, you're on my list now.
Yeah. I'm going to prove you wrong.
I very much enjoyed that.
It's, honestly, all joking aside, it is absolutely different gravy granules. The scoring record is phenomenal. It's ridiculous. The man goes on and on. Anyway, got to say that before we move on to Arsenal Newcastle, because we wanted a bit of cheer. We wanted a bit of footballing fun before we get on to this. So, yes, back in the Premier League, Arsenal beating Newcastle 3-0. Well, even though there was three goals, Vish, it wasn't the most riveting of games, but fair play to Arsenal. They're picking up wins now, aren't they? It's looking a little bit rosier in that part of North London.
It is, yeah, yeah. I was at the matinee performance in the FA Cup last week, and I did think, God, who's going to turn up for this? Thankfully, they did. I mentioned this on the show, actually, because I think I was on the Ramble the day after this game, and Steve Bruce was talking about how he saw, like, you know, different tactical shifts that Newcastle could adopt. Obviously, they didn't against Sheffield United, and they didn't do that here either. Yeah, I mean, sorry, you did ask me about Arsenal, and yeah, it's quite exciting. And, like, you know, Emil Smith Rowe obviously did really well, and Saka has been consistent for a while now. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday that, like, that was a kind of performance where all around the ground you'll get that chant of, you know, he's one of our own, they're one of our own. Because, you know, I think that's something that Arsenal have been lacking for a while. And you see from Arsenal Twitter and stuff like that, all the chat about Hail End this and Hail End that. And it's quite a good way when things aren't going well to suddenly build up that goodwill, you know, almost into a sprint. So yeah, you know, good performance from Arsenal, more of the same direness from Newcastle.
Yeah, before we get to Newcastle, Andy, how about this? Willian became the Brazilian player with the most appearances in the Premier League's history, 248. The most, the Brazilian has played in the Premier League the most. That's quite remarkable, actually. I wouldn't have thought that, Andy.
It is quite remarkable. It's a reminder of how good he's been globally in England, I think, which is worth reminding. I'm not sure I would have tweeted it out, having said that, because, I mean, some of the comments are just, well, I mean, you can fill it in yourself without seeing it, ladies and gentlemen. But I think it is worth recalling that even if he's had his, in modern parlance, he's having his difficult moment at the moment. He has been absolutely terrific in the Premier League. And, you know, you think for Willian, a few years down the line, when his spell with Arsenal is maybe just a footnote in his career history, it'll be like Petr Cech, I suppose, but more so. You know, the fact that he will be remembered for those years at Chelsea where he gave so much and was so good. But, you know, it seemed a weird thing to sort of make, not the headline, but to come out and make part of the discussion on the game, because it's such a I guess, piece of minutiae, because it was really all about Saka and Smith Rowe. That they were fantastic. I mean, Saka has been a good and an important Arsenal first teamer for a while. But Smith Rowe, I've been a bit blindsided by it, to be honest. I mean, I've known about him for a long time. I've seen little bits of him that suggest he could be, like, useful in the future. It feels like he's gone from 0 to 100 really quickly to me. And, you know, they say how overnight successes never are overnight successes. There's so much work behind them. But, you know, he talked, and he was encouraged, wasn't he, afterwards by Jamie Carragher to talk about his loan spells, the ones at Leipzig and Huddersfield. But at Leipzig, it was really, really frustrating. You know, they were expecting more from him. He was stymied by injury the whole time he was there. And I wondered how much he really did take from that. I'll be interested to hear what his thoughts were on the off-pitch part of it, you know, what he maybe learned from that, because Leipzig is a place where I thought, and I suspect Arsenal thought, he would do pretty well in terms of training and professionalism and vibing off other young players, which clearly he's doing at the moment with some of the players around him. But actually, when we went over to Leipzig to do at the match there, and he was on loan there at the time, so this must have been coming up 2 years ago now. So I guess February 19. And I remember coming in the stadium, and on these big screens they have everywhere in the media area there, they have like an in-house TV channel where that they have a man in a red coat, because everything has to be red for the Red Bulls.
Bloody good rep.
They have this guy in a sort of middle-aged man in a red coat and a red tie. Yeah, I know, it's good to have things to aim for someone such as myself. Sort of presenting this show, And in the background, there was someone in an anorak playing, a teenager in an anorak playing table football. I thought, oh, he's a competition winner and they're going to have him play one of the players. And it was Emile Smith Rowe.
Oh, no.
There he was, fish.
That was pretty much a high point at Leipzig. But I think from going from promise and having a few good games into the Europa League to come into this point where I'm sure we're going to come onto how terrible Newcastle were in a minute, but to come to from that point very quickly to the point where you're dominating Premier League games, it's so impressive. And obviously, it couldn't have been better timed with the exit of Ozil.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, Vish. Seldom do we see English players with that kind of style, so that's quite refreshing. But as Andy said, you know, it's not like he was, you know, he had a full season at Leipzig. I know he played a bit at Huddersfield. But seeing him and Saka combining, is that, I don't want to be a little bit presumptuous here and put too much pressure, but is that what we saw there? Is that going to win England the Euros?
Well, I mean, England were already going to win the Euros, don't they? So we might win 4-0 in the final. That's the way I see it, yeah. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was watching them, and just the kind of way that they were moving so freely. And I kind of wondered, actually, that have Arsenal happened upon this in that because they've been performing so badly, they've kind of forced, you know, Mikel Arteta's hand has kind of been forced here because, you know, their recruitment has been piss poor. They have tried to bring in established first teamers and it hasn't worked out. And they, you know what, probably a little bit lucky, if you can say that, about, you know, having a crop of youngsters who are clearly match ready, because you could...
But that can happen in football. We've seen that many times before.
Well, I mean, you could see that with Chelsea last season. Yeah, you know, possibly, does Mount necessarily have the impact he's having now, where he not allowed those first, almost a little bit of a free hit? Nothing's ever quite a free hit at that level.
I mean, but he had worked with Lampard before, hadn't he? But yeah, I take the point you're saying.
But you know, he's playing for Chelsea. You know, when they've with their might and ambitions. And I thought it was really interesting in Smith Rowe's interview at the end. He talked about how him and Saka usually play like that. And I wondered, actually, because of the way that, I suppose, not all Arsenal fans, but the way that, say, like Arsenal social media, Arsenal Twitter are, that you could tell a lot of the players, a lot of the established players have been put, you know, their backs have been put out by it. And some have harnessed it for their own good and some haven't. Some find themselves on the wrong end of it, like Xhaka, for example. And I wondered if it would create a situation where the younger generation were pitted against the older generation in the dressing room as well, or maybe behind the scenes. And so I thought it was really instructive that the one player that Smith Rowe said was having a big impact with him in terms of talking to him on and off the field was Lacazette, who's someone who has been panned, not necessarily in this pod, not necessarily by Mr. Brassel, but certainly someone who has been, you know, in the firing line for criticism. And I thought it was really interesting that Lacazette's upturn in form has come alongside these youngsters coming to the team, and he's clearly having quite a big effect on them as well.
Absolutely right. Gentlemen, let's turn our attention to Newcastle United. Steve Bruce, he said that he wanted to do things his way. The formation, Andy, looked a little bit incoherent, one could say. Had Andy Carroll, Joel Linton, Wilson, Almiron all starting. So it looked like it would be quite attacking, but ultimately they lost 3-0 and didn't score any goals. And I'm beginning to see what Pete Donaldson's been moaning about all this time now, with Steve Bruce. I'm beginning to think he's not doing an all right job.
Is this the Barcelona-Bayern Champions League quarterfinal for you? You know, where Barcelona fans have their moment where, we're not mad. It's actually happening to the rest of the world.
Indeed.
It's funny. There's been some really interesting stuff written about this, I think, in the last couple of days, notably through Chris Waugh and George Culkin in The Athletic, I think. But the view of Steve Bruce is really interesting, isn't it? Because I know it's easy to set it up as, he's got a lot of mates in the game who want to back him, and Newcastle fans will say those people simply don't get it and don't want to get it. I think it's maybe slightly more nuanced than that, because you've got to realise why Steve Bruce has got a lot of mates in the game. It's because he's essentially a good man And I think that's worth reiterating here. And you look at his relationships with players. It's interesting. I just read the Nicholas Bentner book a while back. And he comes out of that so well, Steve Bruce. Bentner absolutely loves him. And he really does
Bentner
try.
Bentner and Brucey, come on.
what combo. Now, that would be a comeback, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine both of them being carried out of a club with their trousers falling down.
Why have you gone there? What do you think
because
of that?
Because of the Bentner thing. Do you not remember that?
Why are you saying Brucey's doing that?
Well, because he's... That's why they're best mates, probably.
Brucey turned up without his trousers on.
We've already talked about his mates in the media, and Marcus is very much part of that. So let's not go there.
When you say something like that about a man like Bruce.
A little Brucey bonus, wouldn't it? I know, well, go on, Andy.
I do just think you can be a nice guy and likeable and a good man and not a great coach and not a great coach for a particular situation. And I think one of the major issues that Newcastle United fans have had with Steve Bruce, and I do think, good guy or not, there's a lot of misinformation coming out. I mean, this stuff about him needing to do it his way, whose way was it before? Was Mike Ashley picking the team? Was Lee Charnley picking the team? Was Joe Ellington picking the team? I don't know. But it did feel that this was change for change's sake in this particular game, that he felt he had to react to the Sheffield United game, but he didn't exactly know how he was going to do it. And you talked about that front four or four-ish, however it was. Two of those players, I think Joe Ellington and Almiron, are just in positions that are completely unsuited to them. And I know Steve Bruce said, oh, well, we defended well first half. I kind of felt that Arsenal aren't really at that uber confident point yet, and nor should they be, because they're still building towards something. But I felt that Arsenal were the better team in the first half, and then probably at halftime had a bit of a, you know what, these are there for the taking, let's stop mucking about, come on. And it felt like that to me. And in the thing that the aforementioned Chris Waugh wrote this morning, in all the terrible metrics that Newcastle have this season, which show A, how ineffective they are, and B, how terrible they are to watch, all of those numbers were even worse last night, which after a game like they had at Sheffield United is, you know, pretty bad.
Gentlemen, Mesut Ozil has finally left Arsenal. That's official now. He described his move to Fenerbahce as a dream come true when he landed in Istanbul on Sunday. Much has been made about Ozil's time at Arsenal in general, but particularly this last sort of year or so. Andy, what kind of taste does this leave in your mouth? A bit of sort of regret that the fact it's sort of happened like this, or are you feeling happy for him? You know, what are your thoughts?
I think the whole situation hasn't been handled brilliantly from any of the sides. I do have a degree of sympathy for Ozil, and we've discussed that on here already. But I think he's kind of laying it on a bit thick now. It's interesting because Fenerbahce are doing a program on his arrival on their YouTube channel tonight. Mm-hmm. And they've released a taster of it on social media this morning. And the whole bit that they've used as the trailer is him walking around the Emirates in the rain, having his photo taken and kind of looking up wistfully at it, sort of saying goodbye. I don't really know what the aim of that is. If it's to say, look, Fenerbahce fans, what I walked out on for you or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really weird. It's strange.
Yeah. I mean, Vish, what do you reckon? I'll be honest with you. I think some people have defended Ozil and say the club has treated him badly, and they kind of find it funny that the way he makes these little pops on Twitter about stuff. And don't get me wrong, I find the humour in that as well. But I sort of look at this as a little bit like Gareth Bale. I'm sure the situations will have their differences, perhaps quite profoundly, but there are similarities there, at least ostensibly. And I think, you know, Ozil, phenomenal player. You know what kind of talent he's had. He's had some great times at Arsenal. But I sort of think no matter how the club has responded in the same way with Gareth Bale, I also look at the player and think, what have you been doing to make the club react like this, because he has to take some responsibility with the fact that he's just hardly kicked a ball in the last year or so.
You say that, but isn't this where we are with certain players that actually, no, he doesn't have to take any responsibility. Like, he might deep down think that he's wasted opportunities, or he might know deep down that he's at fault, but I don't think ever publicly, or, you know, ever in his life after football, is he going to have to sit down and really come to terms with a wasted year. I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest. Part of me is happy that he's gone elsewhere, because someone of his talent not playing is a waste for all of us, in my opinion. Yeah. That might be a bit twee, but I genuinely believe that. And then at the same time, I just think, if that's a club you support, you know, I wonder what Jim thinks of this, but if that's a club you support, whether you want him in the team or not, you're probably just glad it's over.
Oh, Jim definitely said that yesterday. He said he was glad that it was over. I'm pleased for Ozil that he's going somewhere that he wants to go, and I genuinely want him to have a good time there, because he's a brilliant player, and also he's a fellow human being, for crying out loud. But I just think, Andy, that in this day and age, where, especially in, like, you know, without sounding too unnecessary on the situation, you know, especially in the Western world, we're in the age of the kind of extreme individual, if you like. And so people will defend him and sort of blame the nasty football club and whatnot. And as I say, there may be elements of that, the way it's been handled and whatnot. But I just can't help but think, if a player is putting his all, or at least some of his all, into training and all the rest of it, it wouldn't have ended like this.
I'm a bit on the fence about this, actually, because I think the way in which he dropped out of the Arsenal picture was actually pretty sudden, the other side of lockdown. So to me, it suggests there's a financial imperative, and very much like, I think you're right to make the Gareth Bale comparison, because the thing the two players have in common is, pretty much before the ink was dry on their contract extensions, the signing club regretted giving them that extension and then spent a lot of the remaining time trying to turf them out. I don't think it's a particularly constructive situation, a particularly good situation for a player to play their best when they're basically at an employer who is skating quite close to constructively dismissing them. You know, they're doing everything they can to make them uncomfortable, to not just to get rid of them, but to discredit them and to make them look like shit in front of the fan base. And so that's something where I do have sympathy for Ozil. But I think if you look at the reality of it, and you look at the reality of Bale's situation since he's arrived back at Tottenham, to continue the comparison, I thought it was really interesting the way you put it there, Marcus, when you said, we know the talent that Ozil has had. We don't actually know if it's there anymore, because we've not seen him play regularly and as a centrepiece for so long. Now, make no mistake about this, Fenerbahce have absolutely bet the farm on this, and then some. They're in a ton of debt. Even if they're paying him a massive discount from what Arsenal are paying him, which is going to be the case, they're taking a huge gamble. And even though I suspect, as we're going to find out in the next couple of days through the Turkish Stock Exchange, it will be performance and bonus weighted quite heavily, just like when Galatasaray signed Didier Drogba or Wesley Sneijder, or more recently Radamel Falcao. But Fenerbahce have got a pretty good team this season. They're level on points at the top of the league. They've got a really good young attacking coach in Erol Bulut. They've got some decent players. I'm looking forward already to the dream combination between Ozil and Papis Dembélé, and don't pretend you're not feeling the same. But the fact is, there is no other way but for him to lead them to the league. Otherwise, it's going to be a dreadful failure this season. Yeah. And it's a dreadful failure that it would be a dreadful failure that they really can't afford. In fact, if it's a glorious victory, it's a glorious victory that they can't afford. But that's a different story. It's not the first time a Turkish club's done that, and it won't be the last.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Me and Luke have been whiling away the lockdown with our usual nonsense on the Luke and Pete Show. Here's a quick taste of the kind of challenges we've been setting for ourselves.
Give us any nation and I'll tell you why they're dirty.
All right, I'll do it now.
Italy. Yeah. It looks like a sexy boot.
There's also a brand new episode of On the Continent, your weekly guide to the sublime and frequently ridiculous in European football. Find it over on Football Ramble Presents every Thursday.
Neymar's responded to this in kind that they forgot to tell you how to win titles. Then Alvaro has responded with a picture of Pelé with three World Cups going in the eternal shadow of the king.
This reminds me of Stormzy and Wiley. The spice that they have.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Oh, he's good, isn't he, ladies and gentlemen?
I think that's the one that gets me. That's the one that gets me every single time. Just to ask him to do it again, and then rinsing it behind his back by remixing it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now it's time for emails.
Just
right, I've got an email from Richard in Cape Town. I spread Bovril on my buttered toast with scrambled egg. It's bloody delicious and I highly recommend it. Right, so I'm going to come in here and say that I've been listening to the Bovril chat, paying close attention, and only while paying close attention did I realise that Bovril was not meant for spreading, because as a Marmite man, I would always eat Marmite, and every now and again, my mum would accidentally buy Bovril, and I just use the Bovril. I didn't know this wasn't a thing you do.
Ah. Deary me.
You know what this is like? This is like using kitchen roll as toilet roll, if we're talking about supermarket errors.
I always thought that was quite high-end, actually. I imagine that celebs use Charmin.
What posh people do.
Yeah.
That's because it's very low.
Bounty. Stronger soaker-upper.
Andy, for crying out loud, you have an email.
I do. It's from Phil, who slid into Luke's DMs with a golden tale from his play-by-mail days. I took up play-by-mail when I was maybe 8 or 9.
Oh, weird. But I didn't get my first choice team, Barnsley, and was given Chesterfield, every boy's dream. It was all right for a bit, but the first time I rang up to make a transfer, a woman answered and I asked for the name on the paper. The bloke who was manager of Stockport or something, she was polite enough, but then her and the bloke had an absolutely blazing row for about 10 minutes. Honestly, a junior school age me was stunned by the language. After a bit, I started saying, hello, hello, but they were just screaming at each other.
Oh, blimey.
My dad came into the room because I've been on the phone for ages and not really said anything. Asked what was happening. I just said, I don't know. They're arguing a lot. He put the phone down for me and I never played again. You see, I thought I was subjected to terrible things over the telephone when I was a kid with a club call. Where you'd
club call, blimey.
Did either of you guys have that, or are you a bit young for that?
Where you know, I remember club call. I never used it.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you'd phone up and you get. I never used it. It's pre-internet, but you phone up and they tell you information that you probably already knew about your club, I assume.
Well, no, you say that actually, but this was pre-internet, so there wasn't such a free flow of information. So it was worth every one of those 58 pence a minute or however it was. Obviously, when the way it was presented, bro. It was like, you can find out what is going to happen at your club. Wimbledon, FC.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, exactly. It's bollocks. Total bollocks. Teletext was where you got all your info. Teletext was the pre-runner to the internet, and it doesn't get the credit it deserves, damn it all. but there we are, ladies and gentlemen. show@footballramble.com. is where you can email us your nonsense. Right, gentlemen, let's move on to some transfers that have been happening. We've talked about a high-profile player from Arsenal going to Turkey. That hasn't actually been officially confirmed, I should say, but it's due to be. Well, another man is swapping London for Turkey. It's Danny Drinkwater. Danny Drinkwater moving to Turkish side Kasim Pasha, just on loan, of course. Andy, you were there not that long ago.
Yeah, me and photographer Sam went to see Kasim Pasha play against Fenerbahce, actually.
Yeah.
We didn't at the match. You can still find it out there. And Kasim Pasha was super fun. I really enjoyed it. It was the one where we talked about the Paso League system before, where you have to have an ID card to buy a ticket. Now, the press box held about 10 people. So we had to buy tickets to get in because we couldn't squeeze into the press box. But the Paso League system had some sort of glitch in it on the day. And so the guys at the ticket office said, well, you know what? There's an offer in the club shop. And if you spend 99 Turkish lira on something, you get a free match ticket. 99 Turkish lira at the time was like a tenner. So me and Sam went in there and bought Kasim Pasha shirt off the sale rail each and got in. It was good.
That's delightful.
That's lovely stuff. Yeah. I thought that was when you said there was a glitch, I thought you had like hacked in. You're going a bit Jason Bourne there, you two.
Well, look, I'm not suggesting that that's the way that Danny Drinkwater is going to have to get into the stadium by buying a shirt. But, you know, I think after the last year or so that he's had, he's probably open to anything, right?
That part of Turkey, what is it like culturally?
Well, this is Istanbul, Vish. So this is the most central club in Istanbul. You can walk there from Taksim Square in about probably 10, 15 minutes. And you can get a McDurum burger on the way, but I definitely wouldn't recommend that.
What is that?
Well, you know how McDonald's have like themed burgers? They had a Durum one, which obviously was meant to appeal to the cultural sensibilities of Turkey.
What's Durum? Explain that to me.
It's like sort of diced meat.
Okay. Is it good?
In a bread.
Is it better than a fillet of fish?
No, let's not do that. Let's not do this. We're all getting along. Everyone was getting along. We've all been quite friendly. Tough times for everyone, isn't it? Got to remember that.
It is.
We don't need to be slating off things that are godly, that we know are godly. Yeah.
True enough. Well, I'm just pleased Danny Drinkwater's hopefully going to get some airtime because, my goodness, we know he's a decent player. Well, still, we hope he is. But, it's the 18-month deal. It's 18 months left on his Chelsea contract, for crying out loud.
Marcus, isn't it funny how we're talking about players who, as you just said there, we think are still decent because we haven't seen them play for a bit? I mean, is this something we think is going to happen more and more over the next little while as clubs try and push out
players who they just can't afford to have on the books anymore. And you get more of that sense of, oh, he's a good player, or he was the last time I saw him play, which was a very long time ago.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. When players are signed on those vast wages that you mentioned about Ozil and Bale, you think, well, what other options have they got? I mean, on a slightly similar note, Jack Wilshere has re-signed with Bournemouth on a short contract until the end of the season. He's been training with them in recent weeks, and he impressed Jason Tindall with his fitness. Tindall, I quite like this, believes, talking to Jason Bournevish, that Wilshere has unfinished business at Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why he's gone. Yeah, I'm sure Jack Wilshere sat back and thought, look at all these worlds I've conquered. Oh no, look, there's Bournemouth. I mean, it is easy to shit on Jack Wilshere, so I'm going to try and avoid that. Although it was interesting
I don't think we are. I think we're. Yeah.
No, well, steady on. I've not gone yet. Okay. I spoke to a mate of mine who supports West Ham, and he was like, genuinely the best thing he did at the club was when he hid in a washing machine and scared Declan Rice.
And then that was particularly cool, though.
Yeah, but then he even caveated that and said, yeah, but to be fair, Declan Rice is quite easy to scare. And then he reminded me of the Mason Mount video where he terrified him on holiday. So, we talk a lot about, you know, the way that football has moved on, and it's been quite easy to talk about that because of the way Leeds are playing, for example, and also the way that teams at the bottom end of the table want to play, like Fulham and Brighton and whatever. Do you get the sense, or am I just trying to overthink this? Do you get the sense that Jack Wilshere, as someone who would have thrived in that particular, or rather in this particular era, had he been, say, a 23-year-old right now, or is there like an element to the game that has passed him by? For example, like, was he not able to be as consistently physical as he, you know, as he needed to be, hence all the injuries? Or am I just being a bit too wistful about one game that everyone goes on about against Barcelona?
For me it's injuries completely. I think the difference between his breakthrough at Arsenal and the bit that follows the first major injury after that is absolutely key in understanding why it's not really worked for him going forward. I mean, I know like that his fitness issues have been terrible, but I think what made the biggest difference to the way he played is when he first came in to the Arsenal setup, you saw the way he could glide away from players. And I suppose it makes you feel a bit wistful looking at Emile Smith Rowe now, even though they're sort of different types of players. The fact that Wilshere could not only find a pass, but he could go on the dribble and get away from two or three defenders. Now, when he got to that second bit of his Arsenal career, where he's sort of rehabilitated and trying to, again, carve a place in the Arsenal team, he no longer has that burst of acceleration to get away from players. So, A, he gets frustrated. B, he gets kicked more. And C, it limits his flow in the game. So I think all of those things, I think, are very, very difficult things to get over.
Well, gentlemen, all this talk of players who we think, are they still good? Can they still cut it? One man that we know can is Fizzer, Phil Neville. He's off to Miami. My giddy aunt, it's a match made in heaven. Beckham is getting the band back together. It's something that he won't get the band back together because there's no way Paul Scholes is going to go out into the Miami sunshine. However, Vish, I put it to you, will we see Fizzer spunking on South Beach?
I was going through the lyrics of Will Smith's Miami, and I thought this sounds exactly like Phil Neville's vibe, actually. Yeah. Miami screams of Phil Neville. Yeah. All this talk of seeing Dominican women with cinnamon tans. That's right up Phil Neville's street. That's cinnamon. What he does, mate. That's all about him. Honestly, if you're building an MLS team in a place like that, given, you know, for example, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler as their token of cool and just out and out brilliant and bombasticness, imagine going for Phil Neville and thinking, yeah, that's our manager. Yeah. There he is.
It does seem a strange appointment, Andy. I mean, obviously, a lot has been put into into Miami and trying to build the brand and whatnot. And there's talk of, you know, some big stars arriving. They've already got Higuain there. And is Matuidi still there? I think he is. And yet they go for Phil Neville, who stepped down as England women's boss recently. He hadn't been having a good time with the Lionesses, lost seven in their last 11. Although 2019, it wasn't a bad effort in the She Believes Cup. But does this surprise you, Andy, a little bit?
Yes. Well, I guess nothing surprises me in terms of people giving jobs to their mates in football. But having said that, I totally get where Vish is coming from with it's kind of juxtaposed to the glamour of Inter Miami. And even the name of the club, you know, it's meant to be cosmopolitan and international. Now, on one hand, I don't think we can do Phil Neville down too much because in terms of his willingness to be cosmopolitan and to be open, he's shown that before at Valencia. You know, everyone talks about how badly it went for Gary there, but Phil stayed on after Gary went. He embraced the lifestyle. He got involved.
Andy, I'm not at all, you know, questioning Phil Neville's decision to say, yes, I will go there. I'm merely saying, if you're an Inter Miami fan, although maybe they'll think, oh, that's Phil Neville. He played for Manchester United, Everton, and England. Maybe they don't know the same fizzer that we do.
Well, I guess that's not really what I'm getting at. I'm not talking about his ability to enjoy it. Clearly, that should be that should be pretty high.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of his ability to make some sort of contribution and cross over culturally, I think maybe there's something in that. However, a lot of people who follow the England women's team a lot closer than me are not particularly high on his job. That he did there. Clearly, the end was very poor indeed. And sometimes he just does appear that little bit clumsy. I'm looking for reasons to like this appointment, but I can't find a lot because, in terms of like the way he puts himself across, sometimes he's just not that adroit, is he?
Mm. Do you think though this is something to do with? With Fizzer saying that the England job, the England ladies' job, was a stepping stone into club management. Do you think that kind of thing, you know, shows his ambition, Vish, or is that just disrespectful to a previous job he now had?
Well, there was that, and there was also I think it was during a tournament. I can't remember which one, where he said that the team were lucky to have him. And I think he was being quite punchy and he said that, and I suppose it ties into what Andy said before, that he's never been the best at, you know, at any of these speaking engagements particularly. But I mean, there is a sense, you know, when you look at that England women's team, that these few years after Mark Sampson have been wasted. And I think, you know, you look at that team and there's still a lot left there, to be fair. I think only, you know, of the main players, only Ellen White and Jill Scott in terms of the attacking midfield are over 30, and then Steph Houghton at the back as well. So there's, you know, there's a lot of youth there, and those players have come through over the last couple of years. And, you know, maybe there's an argument to be made of whether they'd come through with or without Fizzer, and I'm not in a position to make that argument, but it felt like his appointment for the FA was their way of saying, oh, yeah, OK, we know that women's football's on the rise. We need to kind of make sure we build on that momentum. And they got a bit greedy, I think, going for a public appointment rather than someone who's actually, you know, capable of doing the job, who actually had history in the game on both codes, you know, Phil Neville's CVs. It's pretty weak as it is.
Yeah.
But now they've got a chance to rectify that. And yeah, it's. Yeah,
but
Vish, I wouldn't say it's wasted. Yeah.
But Vish, I think you're not seeing the big picture here. In 2018, Messi congratulated Beckham for founding Inter Miami and added on a, who knows, maybe in a few years he will give me a call. Last year, Messi reportedly bought a £7.25 million apartment in a tower block in Miami, which boasts a car lift, apparently, which is rather impressive. In December, he expressed his desire to play in MLS. Surely this is Inter Miami thinking, we've got Messi in our sights. Who's the man to manage him?
Well, do you think, I like the way you say that, you know, he bought a flat in Miami, because like people go wild whenever footballers do this, as if they were like, it's their only Living space. Yeah. Do you reckon he used the Help to Buy scheme to get it? Well, he'd been renting all this time. And it's like, no, I need to get on the ladder.
I don't know if Florida have a Help to Buy scheme, but he hasn't bought one in Manchester, as far as I'm aware.
Well, do you think it's the other way around, actually? Do you think to get Fizzer, they had to get Messi? And they told
possibly
us, look, we'll get him. They whispered to Fizzer as he would whisper to them.
I think they sort of come as a pair, really, Andy, if you really think long and hard about it. But would one get the best out of the other?
I guess I'm, firstly, there's part of this that makes me think a little bit like when Zlatan, to take it back to the beginning, and Jurgen Klopp came together at that award ceremony a couple of years ago when Klopp was still at Dortmund. And Zlatan goes, "I play for you for free, coach." I think there's a little bit of that to it.
I think so.
Secondly, Marcus, I'm very much looking forward to you explaining to me what a car lift is.
Yeah, well, lot, you know, the ones that we get as people, it's like one for cars, mate. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's not just that concludes
Andy, today's football ramble. I will have the final word on that. Thank you very much. If you loved what you heard today, ladies and gentlemen, head over to our Patreon page where there is a lot more shiny bonus content waiting for you. That's right. We have some new offerings for you in store in our Patreon, featuring live streams and a brand new episode format with myself and that guy, the car lift guy, Andy Brassel. I'll say no more. Just head over to patreon.com/footballramble and all will be revealed. On tomorrow's show, it's Kate, Vish and Pete. So stay tuned for that. Actually, don't stay tuned. It'll just download the new episode for you. Thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Vitush Nihantaraja.
Thank you, Mr. Carlift Expert.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you, MC Speller.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.